Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of The Valley Cafe with Esther. And I'm your host, Esther Opone, or you can call me The Valley Water. I've been receiving a lot of love from you guys on my current series on my NYSC shenanigans, and thank you so much. It feels good to know that a lot of people resonate with, you know, the whole uncertainty and stuff that comes with going for NYSC service in this Nigeria. So anyway, this week the series to continue, and this time I have a friend with me to discuss our struggles when it comes to, you know, faith and spirituality, especially in camp. It's a whole topic. But anyway, with me today I have my very good friend Christabel Umbachu. I call her Chris. And then so when I asked her to send like a one or two line sentence to describe herself, she said Chris is a baby girl. So ladies and gentlemen, welcome baby girl Christabel to the show.
Of course, I'm a baby girl for life.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm fine too. So your camp was in Enugu, right?
Yes, it was, yeah.
So how was it? How was it on that side of the country?
Well, Enugu is, well, for lack of better words, Enugu is really hot. We were at Oguhili. So Oguhili is like when it gets hot, it gets really hot. And when it gets cold, it gets really cold. So it was like you're alternating between hot and cold, hot and cold, hot and cold. Well, aside from that, and then it's very hilly, so we had to climb a lot of hills. And funny thing was, our parade ground was not inside the camp, so we go outside of the camp to do whatever sports, parade, any other anything that requires like physical activity. We go outside the camp, so we have to walk down the hill. No, not walk. We have to jog down the hill and jog back up. And jog down, so it was a whole lot of stress. But thankful for the 5 years of medical doing medicals. I'm on clinic duty, sir. And just escape. But then I didn't want to miss out on the camp thing. So I was very picky. I'll choose the ones I'll go for, and then the ones I'll use my clinic duty and an excuse to escape. So I think I would say I had the best of both worlds. The fact that I didn't do so much activity to the point of draining myself, but still I was still able to do it to the point where I can say that I experienced camp and it was nice. So.
And then all those early mornings of like in our own camp too, when the soldiers come to our hostel, they will just start shouting, bah, 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 bah. Are they inside? You are wrong. Are they inside? Come outside. If you are walking, you are wrong. If you are double up.
Oh my goodness. Maybe peculiarities. Ours was female soldiers that came in. We didn't really have any male soldiers come.
There were female soldiers too.
Oh,
there were actually female soldiers that came to wake up. They would enter. Funny enough, towards the end, we had a good rapport. I think the last few mornings they would even come in. We'd be telling them that you people, you will miss us, so you better be, you know, that they will not laugh.
Over time, like we just blended in. I think one came to my room one time. I was like, you still there, yeah? I'm like, ah, mama, will they go tomorrow? She was like, ah, you go miss us. I go miss now. come on. So it was nice. Yeah. But then the thing, my window is very close to, like, how will I explain it now? Whenever he's passing, he passes my window. So my window is like the first point of call. Oh my goodness. Bon, bon. Oh. I don't want to relive those things because but then at some point, just because we used to wake up really early to have our baths, because I don't know if I should say this, but Oguhili doesn't have a bathroom. So we used to have a bath outside. So wow. I have to wake up really, really, yes. So we have to wake up really, really early to bathe. Because once, if you start bathing around four, if you want to start bathing around four, that means you're about to lose your bride price or your everything. Because they will see it all. Because guys will be coming out, everybody, the soldiers would have started walking around and all. So we have to wake up really, really early to have a bath outside and all of that. So most of the time when he comes, I already awake. But then the noise, I think my least favorite trumpet was the one for activities. I didn't like
it. But the one for food, you liked.
Everybody likes that one. Corpus food is ready. Everybody likes that one. Who doesn't like food? Even people that have been complaining that I don't like the food, they will still go to the kitchen and
they will go.
Even in clinic that they will be saying, no, as per me, doctors are rich and all, like people that are in medical, once food come like this, everybody will gather to the clinic. I'll be like, I hope not going to mommy again. If you should go to mommy and leave the food for all. Like,
So you had to like wake up from like midnight, maybe 2-3 a.m. But how did you cope? Because I presume, of course, that messed up with your routine, especially, I don't know if you're like me and you have your 1 hour of prayer in the morning before you start your day, or maybe Bible study, like your personal devotion.
Devotion, yes.
And I know going to camp messed with my routine a bit. So how was it like for you, particularly the fact that you had to like have woken up before 4 and like be ready before 4 a.m. Was that, yeah, what effect did that have on your like normal routine from home, and then how did you now like navigate it or like adapt?
Well, it did. And for my church, we have this thing where we have like a prayer chain, so you can choose between 3:30 to 6:30. So, but for my church then, ours was from 4:30 to 5:30. But that is the time for prayer chain normally for church. So now if you wake up maybe later, you wake up earlier and you have something to do, and take excuse and do that. So when I first got to camp, I think the excitement of camp was still there. So I used to wake up really early. I would have my bath and I would go and pray. But I wasn't doing it for 1 hour exactly, because by the time I would be done praying, they would have started blowing that thing, so we have to leave. But then as time went on, I will not lie, it became harder, because you'd have gone through all the activities of the day, get to your hostel by maybe 10, 11, before you have your bath in the night to sleep, it would have been like 12 or 1, and you have to wake up again. So at some point, it began to dwindle a lot. Like, at some point, my pastor won't call me, like, I don't see a prayer chain. He already warned me before then, but I was like, well, that's all for you to go around it and all of that. But when I got to camp, the first few days, I was praying before 4:30. I would have my bath and maybe like 2-3. Then I would just pray 45 minutes. And they would have blown that big stuff, so I have to leave and all. Then, subsequently, because at the beginning of camp, you're excited. Like, at least I remember the first day I got to camp, I was the first person to wake up in the whole of my hostel. But I was really excited. I was like, hey, come. So I woke up, I prayed a lot. I was like, on the fifth or sixth day, I started doing that. I didn't really pray much. But NCTF had already designed, decorated the church. And it was, I think that was like God's way of just sort of helping me out, really, because there were a lot of female hostels, but my own hostel particularly was very close to NCTF. In fact, it was like, it's beside NCTF. So whenever I would pass to my hostel and back, I would see it. They said service, that like maybe 3 or 4 days after camp. I mean, I wasn't really going. So after a call with my pastor, and I was just reminiscing about the fact that, Christabel, you've not been doing devotion, you've not been doing anything, you've just been, just going with the flow and enjoying life, and you've forgotten the basics. So I was like, okay, what can I do? Now I just realized that I couldn't, and this is just the honest truth. And I don't know how it is for some people, but for me, I couldn't really keep up with the early morning prayers anymore, because sleeping late, having to wake up really early to pray, it's not important. It wasn't important to me, but it happens that when you're surrounded by so many people that are not doing something, you tend to sort of, you know, bad influence is very gradual. And if I say that I wasn't influenced, I'll be lying. So my roommate doesn't pray in the morning. People around us, so me too, in the morning, I'll be like, oh, I'm so tired. Let me just sleep in for another 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 4 minutes. You have to wake up to rush and have your bath. 4 minutes, they've already blown the big hole and you have to rush out and all of that. So you just fade it out. But then NCF was very close to my hostel, so I was always seeing it anywhere I was going. And the one that just, what am I even doing in my life in this place? If I was at home, I'm not going to church. There's no midweek service here, and this is the only, and NCF calls every day in this is the only day that, this is the only place that you can even at least fellowship with believers. I think for me that was very important, because I noticed that, you know, in camp, you are a lot of people. So for you to be able to pick out people that are believers from amidst your secular activities is very difficult. And yeah, it's very important to at least, even if you're not thriving in one place, I say, shall I thrive in the other place? So I was like, okay, I'm going to go for NCCF. And another thing that actually stood out to me, I think that was one of the things that even pushed me to NCCF. Prior to going to camp or anything, I'd seen a flyer. I don't even know Pastor Stella of Believer's Tribe.
Why don't?
Okay. She's God's man in Delta State, according to her Twitter handle. And she was invited to Enugu camp by the Enugu State Corpus, the National NCCF Enugu State branch. And I saw the flyer and I was like, oh wow, like Enugu State, NCCF, Pastor Stella, like what the, it's like, it was a good thing. If you know what I'm talking about, it was a very good thing. So that was one of the things that also stuck in my mind. I think I remember that, oh, actually, these people invited us to sell. So for them to have actually invited us to sell, it means that I can actually join. I can, you know, be a part of this. Because Basella is someone that I really love so much and I hold her in very high esteem. But I went in there one of the evenings that they're having the program, and it was actually amazing. You know, when you go to a place and you are so refreshed. I spent like an hour there and it was like, I shouldn't even leave. Like, it was the things I had not been doing before, everything just, I was just like, my God, I'm supposed to be, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is the place I'm supposed to be. And that was how my journey to NCCF actually started. I think the first thing, A lot of people would not agree with this. I don't know if I should say this, but one of the things that stood out to me when I got there was the fact that they were speaking in tongues. Now, in this part of Nigeria, the East, you know, we have a lot of Catholics and a lot of Orthodox churches, people that don't really believe in speaking in tongues and Holy Spirit. Now, going to a place and seeing people speaking in tongues, you know, just, you know, exercising themselves in the Holy Spirit and all of that. Yeah. It was amazing. It was like, I'm supposed to, this is my tribe. Like, I wasn't expecting it at all. Like, I was got in, everybody was just, and I got in when they were praying, actually. Funny thing. And I just joined in. You know, when you just blend in seamlessly. Like, there's no sharp line or anything. I just blended in. You know, it was amazing. The next day, by 6 o'clock, like this, I just told you, my sir, please, see me, I didn't go to church. He said, ah, church, I'm like, ah, you have seen me, I'm going to church. And that was how I just started going. And, you know, it was actually, I think for me, that was what kept me under the camp. It was what kept me. My CMAC will always refer to me as Christabel the Christian woman, because every evening by 6, CMAC, I'm going to church, please, if they call you for love, call one of my people to come and to come and hand me. I'm going to church. I cannot be here at this time and all of that. So, but that was like, that was how it happened. And I'm really grateful to God for NCCF. And I'm really grateful to God for people that I met. One of the things that I did to ensure that I stayed committed was that I joined the unit. You know, my pastor didn't have any influence in me joining, because, you know, joining a unit is like,
is it just a 3-week program, right? So what are you joining a uni for? All that. But when I got there, I knew that, you know, when you know yourself, you know yourself. And I knew that if I don't join a uni, one time will come like this. I will not come to this place again. But I'm saying this because it happens to the best of everybody. You know, you get sucked in with camp activities so much so that you don't even, like, you begin to give excuses for not joining the seemingly smaller ones, like, oh, NCCF, I can go tomorrow now, but this one, Miss NYSC, platoon activities is just once in a week or something, just like, it's just once it's going to happen, something like that. And so what I did was I joined the Bible study unit so that at least if they don't see me, they'll come in that Christian babe, where are you? Bible study unit, Nicotinic, and all of that. I went to join prayer. I joined prayer unit and Bible study unit because those were the two areas that I, you know, was very lagging behind. But then, you know, it's camp, so you can't really do the both at the same time. You know, join prayer and join Bible study will be a lot. So last, I stayed back in Bible study unit. But I chose Bible study unit because you know, people say that, oh, it's easier to pray than to study your Bible. And that is really the truth, because you know, you can just sit down in a space and you're just praying and just speaking in tongues. You can pray under your breath, you can, you know, all of those things.
Yeah.
So I knew that if it's about prayer, I can actually pray. I can pray on my own. You pray in church, you know, when you, of course, once the program starts, the first thing we start is prayer. You pray for like 10, 20, I think it was 10 minutes or so, 20 minutes. You pray in tongues for that long. And then, you know, the NCCF activities and stuff that happens, drama and all of that. But yeah, sitting down to actually study your Bible might not come into play unless maybe once in a long while. But I knew that being in the Bible study unit, I would be forced to study my Bible because one, you would have to give a review in church, you have to answer questions, you have to teach people and all of that. So that was my own way of saying, okay, rather than choose prayer in the Bible, let me just choose Bible study unit. And really it was helpful for me. I think that choice I made was like the best choice I could have made at camp. It was the best choice because, you know, after we had meetings every day. So, and after every meeting, you would sit down for like unit meetings, Bible study, prayer, evangelism, and all of that. So Bible study, you would go through the you go through the booklet to answer questions. So, you know, that kept my mind running over. I don't even understand. Anyway, when someone asks a question, you don't want to say the wrong thing, because one, you don't want to quote out of context or say anything that is not scriptural. Two, you don't want to mislead people, because you know it's interdenominational, so people from different churches are there. So you want to be sure that what you are saying is actually what is in the Bible, what God will have you say. So it kept me like in touch, like, okay, this thing I'm saying now, is it in the Bible? This scripture I'm putting now, is it what it really means? You understand? So that was like the best decision I could have actually. Sometimes when I don't know the scripture, I will go and check my Bible or check my phone, like quickly, like, okay, this thing, I don't know, I can't remember this, let me just, you know. And it was really amazing. So that was one of the ways, one of the things that I did to, you know, when it comes to spiritual life in camp, that's one of the things that I did, you know, joining NCCF, and not just joining, you know, as a Sunday member or Sunday member, just going every Sunday, but making sure that I was actively involved in the unit, to the point where I sort of had a commitment to be there every day. So I will not have any excuse that by 6 o'clock I will not be there, by 7 I will not be there. Instance. So that was one of the things that I did to actually engage, to help myself when it came to that spiritual dwindling. I'm about to say hallelujah now.
Praise God. Okay. So I remember, like, I think some days before I was going to camp, and I put it there play, I'm actually going to camp in like the following week or like in few days time. I can't believe it. In fact, I have not even seen my call up letter yet. But I just put it, but I knew the official like orientation camp date. So I just put it on my status, like, any recommendations, advice. And then a friend of mine, Moyo, and then he just replied, and he was like, you know, I know there's a lot of doctrinal persuasions and all of that, but irrespective, I should make sure I join NCCF. So I was like, yeah, okay. Yeah, and then funny enough, the night I landed in Sokoto, I was hosted, like, if another good friend of mine had connected me to, like, the NCCF family house. And so that was where I slept the first night. They were very welcoming and everything like that. But still, in my head, I was like, I don't want to miss, you know, when you are very attached to your own, like, church. So like, there's a series that you had been running. So I was like, yeah, on Sundays and on days that we have service days in my home church, I would tune in. I wouldn't go for like NCCF services. I would tune in online and share it. My sister.
I feel like Jenna Lori Ross for you. That man that was saying Lori Ross.
I was also in the camp clinic, so I was distracted a lot. And then network to decide to do its own. And then again, the old thing, you know, the old routine thing also messed up. It messed up me. Yeah. Like, you know, it was first a shock settling in. And then you're in a string phase. And then activities, you're busy all day. You just crash into bed. And then you have to wake up early the following morning. Start going for parade. And like, it was extra stressful. And so, of course, some things I had to give. And you know, it's extra hard. Like, normally when I feel sleepy and I wake up and I'm tired, I can pace in my room. But then it was
rambling tongues.
Exactly. But in my hostel, it was looking weird.
Yeah.
Like, is she a witch? Why is she working? Or maybe she's looking for something to steal. Sure, you get. So those things were always running through my head. And then I had to sit on my bed and, you know, now sleep.
Did that bed is not your friend at all.
It is not.
Especially when you're so tired. You don't be like, let me just close my eyes.
Yes.
See, the bed is bright.
Everything is just open one. So that was that. And then I remember that it started affecting so many. You know, anytime I feel out of. So like my morning routine is like a very core part of me. So anytime I feel like I've not started my well, like I've not had that devotion, I've not even like apart from like the spiritual part, some other things that I do in the morning, those are just ways for me to like, you know, have a sense of control over my day. And yeah, all of that. Of course, I know that there are times when, you know, things happen, you travel, you are out, so you are not in your own house. But then that was going to go on for like 3 weeks. It's not just a 1 day thing, 2 day thing, 3 day thing.
Or even a week.
I started just feeling like off. Like, I told my friend then, like, I would just have this feeling that, oh, there's something I should do that I've not done. Of course, I know that. Of course, I'll just be walking and sometimes, you know, so especially when I have my mask on, sometimes I would like speak in tongues under my breath, pray, say a word of prayer in my understanding to, you know, do all of those things. But it was still not like me committing that time, like that me time to like really commune, like together. It's not in a rush or on the move. And then I remember I messaged you. and really, again, I'm going to say it here, I'm really, really grateful for the gift of you. I know, you know, like, even when I was thinking of who to call for this topic, and even at that period, I was like, who can I reach out to? Like, who is in this situation right now? You know, like, of course, your pastor, your accountability partner at home or in church, but like someone who is also living this experience, who can relate. Like in real time, and I was like, yeah, of course, Christabel. So I think they are not chatted in like 2 or 3 days, and I just sent you a message. Like, I feel like I'm in the flesh too much. My personal devotion, my prayer, I just feel dragged in different corners, and then you were like, yeah. And then you took your time, and then you sent a long ass voice note. Ladies and gentlemen, overall best. is spiritual gingering.
Bless God. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So, and I remember we were chatting that night, that evening, and then it was actually around past six or almost six. And as we were talking, I was just like, you know what, right now I'm actually going to. So I'd been doing Shakara in like the NCCF stuff. Like, I was not going. And then you told me how it worked for you, that you were able to, you know, leverage the time to do some things, like, of course, pray, study Bible. Like, immediately, I just carried my waist pouch. Like, I put it. And I just told people, yeah, I'm going to church. Someone even called me from work. Like, some of, like, my team members, I think they wanted to have an inquiry. It felt good to send a text, like, yes, I'm in church. I'm going to church.
Yeah. Just makes you, it just keeps you apart, like, sort of, in that space. Yes.
And it was so timely and refreshing. Yeah, the sermon I heard that it was timely and refreshing. And I think that's what it was really about. It was like being able to fellowship with fellow saints.
Fellow believers,
Just born, just be grounded, be in that atmosphere. Of course, like, our relationship with God is not limited to atmosphere and all of that. But in a world where you feel like you are surrounded by too much secular stuff, like at least having that 1 or 2 hours to, like, you know, cater to something strictly dedicated to spiritual things, it felt really good and, again, refreshing. You know, like, when you've been patched. And so, of course, unlike you, I was not really going every day after then, but, like, most times I had to be in the clinic and all of that. But it was always like, it was really worth it, I must say.
Yeah. Something that you ended up looking forward to at least every 6 o'clock. It was an amazing
thing. You know that thing that they say about, you know, each victory making you better. There's a aim, like, each victory will make you stronger. And so from there, once I felt a sense of control over that, even my own personal devotion changed. Like, it improved a bit. So I could be more deliberate and, like, conscious and push more with the old. And then I started stealing more time for myself. So sometimes I would, like, maybe on break and probably on my phone studying the Bible, or, you know, just like, sometimes people even think I was sleeping. I'll just close my eyes and then, you know, just pray and, like, you know, just meditate on something I had studied earlier. And it was
I'm sure it was an amazing experience. And another thing that it helps to do is, you know, in camp, well, for Ogu camp, they told us very blatantly, like, see, don't go and preach to anybody, don't disturb people, kinika kinika and all of that. So I don't want to be that person that's always going to. Well, then when I got to NCCF, the evangelism, it was like what I was running away from. I get to come and jam in here. Every single day was about evangelism. And so, you know, in clinic, you find yourself just talking, and, you know, someone says something that is not, you know, scriptural in that sense, and you just sort of chip in, like, and then everybody just sits and they kind of say, like, what are you saying? You know? So it was one of those things that really helped, you know. And there was even a doctor, he would always see me going to church, like, everything. So when I first was going before, he started going before I started going, but he wasn't really consistent. So every time in the evening, I would always go there, and I would just tell, like, even if I'm working, once it's 6 and I'm on duty, I'll just call, and I was the chief, so I could just call someone and ask, please come and stand it for me. And I'll tell the same that I'm going to church or whatever. So one day, I didn't know that he even noticed that I was always going. So he said, Christopher, are you going to church this evening? I was like, yes, I've not been seeing you around. He said, I know camp activities and everything, that you've not been able to stay consistent at all. So one of the things I told him, that even myself, and I think I mentioned that in the video, that was the day that I said this thing, that even rang in my head, that wow. I was like, you know, the camp activity starts at 4:30 every day, and it runs till 10 p.m. at least for Ogu camp. From 4:30 till 10 p.m., you just have, like, maybe an hour break to eat or something, or just rest and all.
So those 2 hours, 6 to 8, that's the only time you have to make up for your devotion in the morning. I don't think it's something that you should miss, you know. And in those 2 hours, you are in church. Nothing else matters. Of course, you know that you're in church, you shouldn't press your phone. You should be, you know, you should concentrate on it. You should pray when everybody's praying. And you should just be actively involved in church. So those 2 hours of, you know, just... Of course, we know that you don't have that in the morning. I told him that I know, because me, it's possible I'm going through it. You know that this morning thing is not working for all of us. So, for those 2 hours that you have in between, like at the end of the day, like it's because it's literally at the end of the day, like from 4 to 6 in the evening, they are just that's the only time you have to actually just go to church and be in the midst of believers. And he was just looking at me. Next day, he came, and I can tell you that he kept on coming every day till the end. So I was always grateful, and I'm sure that he was blessed by it, because he joined the choir. He was even now leading songs, and you know, those stuff. Yeah, exactly. So it was really an amazing experience. And even some other people in clinic, I met them in church. But you know, when now, like I said something about being able to pick out believers from among the crowd. You know who, okay, this person is a believer, so I can roll with this person. And then some of them are my platoon members. So it was like, we're now doing platoon things in church. And you go to the platoon, and you're now like telling inside jokes, saying stuff like NCCF or exactly who. And of course, NCCF, nobody, people are not boring. So you know that they're not going to, the whole thing of, oh, I'm going to be bored in camp and all of that. No, the people that you meet there, they're able to, at least you know that these people are of like minds like me in terms of, you know, serving Jesus, and also in camp too. Like they are also actively involved in camp, so you can even know what's up and what's happening in camp because of those people. So it was really something that I'm really grateful to God that I joined, you know, NCCF. I remember the day that I even taught a class on a Sunday. We had activities till, though I was escaping in clinic, but I really didn't have time to do anything, so I had to spend the night, like I stayed up to like get down, jot down what I was going to teach and all of that. But you know that thing of, my goodness, this is me. See me that was struggling with everything. See me, I'm saying to actually teach to
write and sermons. You know,
do you understand? And you know, I prayed after before I left, and I got to the church and I was really nervous, but it was really amazing that preaching that the same if not preach, at least now I have an audience, if I have plenty of audience to actually even do that, and it was on evangelism and all of that. So I learned in the teaching, and I also taught. So it was really an amazing experience. I think that was one of my highlights. I don't know if people sang that very long family song.
Family song, hell, Jesus.
Long,
that
song is long, but you know,
I know for a lot of us, we didn't even know it, so I felt we're not even carrying the song. Everybody's just raising hands, and
at some point, I actually had to learn it too, because you know, when you hear something over time, just no, it was long. At some, you know, sometimes when people are just coming, you invite a friend to come in, and I didn't really have, apart from that guy and from other people that, you know, just working together. So people that you see that you just came in, it may be somebody. When the song starts getting long, you just start leaving church. I was always laughing because I knew that the song was long, but it was not like one of my favorite things, because it was, you know, it was amazing. And I'm really, really, really grateful that, you know, God gave me that, actually that platform too, so that I will not lose. Because I don't know, if I have not joined NCCF now, I don't know what I would have been doing in my time, and you know how. Just bless God, thank God for NCCF.
That's actually when you realize that you can always make time for what matters, even if it's not like optimal, like as you have wanted, you would have held at home, but at least you shan. And I think for me, it was that spirit of, yes, even though it was difficult, I was still able to make that decision and make that move.
Mm-hmm.
So it was that personal like responsibility for me that also ginger. And the thing is, once I am able to take like responsibility or control in one area, I just have that, I can do every other thing. So,
really, that's true.
Yes. So even when I felt myself like dwindling, like accommodating some funny thoughts, getting into some funny situations, and you know, those things just sort of like going, like gave me reminders. Those things just helped me, like, yeah, get grounded.
You should,
and
you should not forget the pastor always says.
See, don't forget where you're coming from. Get back to 0 point.
Don't forget it.
Back. Default.
But they'll say you handicap. Don't forget it too.
And again, it just leads credence to the fact that God always makes wise provisions for his children. And when in the Bible was all about, oh, don't forsake the assembly of brethren. There's actually a reason to that. And even if many people do not see it or realize that now, like, but it's very, very, very important. And I'm glad that I'm someone who has come to that point, and like I've experienced it firsthand. And of course, yeah, just reminds us that God is very, very, very loving. And even those times when we felt, oh, we've not been communing with God, we've been, you know, detached and all of that, it's always like
He gives us provision to be able to find our way back. I mean, that was like, yeah.
He's always there. He's always listening. And then when it comes to the whole consistency thing, and no, like maybe when you flop a bit, and then, you know, it's always hard to, like, for some people to go back.
Yeah.
So because they feel like, yeah, I've been away for so long, or I've been this. And I just remember one analogy that someone I follow on Instagram, Blessing Abeng, she's a brand person and brand communicator and all of that. And then she was saying something about consistency and brushing your teeth. Like, the fact that you missed brushing your teeth for one day, what do you do again? The next time you are able to, like, you pick up your brush and you start brushing, and then, you know, you continue like that. You don't stop brushing forever.
Brushing because you missed a day. Yeah.
Just because you missed a day or some days. And that's just the thing. It's never too far off or too long ago, in quotes, or too, I don't know, too long term or too, like, distant to, like, go back. You can't always...
The road is never too far. It's all... wherever you turn, he's always, like, close by. And if you're very sensitive to it, like, I've had moments like that when I felt like, someone said something, says, whenever you feel far from God, he never left. You're the one who actually moved. So whenever you feel that way, like, God is always there. So even if you feel like you are far away, once you look, like, once you are, you actually like look, you would see him standing right there. Obviously, God is a spirit, so he will not stand like physically, but you see him in people. You see him in. I'll give an example. I was just thinking about how am I going to this PPA thing? How am I going to because I said I was going to listen to messages more often, because I was slacking at it. I wasn't really listening to my pastor when it comes to, like, teachings and all. And I was like, how will I, because before you find time to sit down and listen to a message, and, you know, I saw someone, she's a leader in Ife Church, and she had her ears plugged, and for some reason I always see her with her ears plugged, but I don't really see that anything. But that day, because I actually was thinking about it, so I just saw her with her ears plugged, and I was like, so I just thought about that. This sister always with her ears plugged, and I know that she's listening to a teacher. So it's not like she's working, she's doing other activities, but she has her ears plugged. So it's like she's in the moment. She's not losing sight of what she should be doing. But at the same time, she's not like staying in a place that, okay, or confine herself to a close place that, okay, I have to be here to do it. So she's doing it, and she's still getting what she has to get done. And for me, that was a lesson. And if you think about it, somebody with an earpiece and she's just going on her own, but for some reason you saw a lesson from it. Do you understand? So God is not so far fetched. He's not people always think that he's in the high piloting things that are like so far away. But if you look around, he's there. He comes in people, even things that you hear in passing. If you are very sensitive, you just know, this is God talking to me. This is God trying to, you know, help me out of this situation. And it's such a beautiful thing. Rather, maybe pray about something today, and you know, in your, when you're just going about your day, something just happens and you're like, wow, I prayed about it this morning and this is the answer to what I prayed about, something like that. So God is always there. He's always, you know, present in the moment. You just have to be present as well and sensitive to know that, okay, this is God speaking to me. You understand? So for people who feel like, oh, I have not been doing much of devotion, I have not been doing that, God is always there. See, the solution to not study your Bible is to pick it up and study. There's no other solution again. Like that, there's no other solution again. The only thing that the solution to not praying is to stand up and pray. Do you understand? Like, I don't want to say it's not as difficult as people make it seem, but then that's the truth. Like, if you feel like you're not praying as much as you should be praying, the only thing that you can do at that point is just stand up and pray. If you feel like you're not studying as much as you should study, the only thing to do is just pick up and study. Do you understand? With the help of the Holy Spirit, it's like you, He's always there, He's always indwelling you. So you just have that consciousness that, oh, I'm doing this with the help of the Holy Spirit. He's always your helper. He's always there. Do you understand? So that is just like the thing. As young people, we are bombarded with a lot of activities. So many activities.
And distractions.
I think camp was like a visual representation of the things that happen to us as young people in daily. Because you wake up, and then before you know it, it's already nice, and you're like, ah, what did I do today? So you know, finding that time to fellowship, I think that was for me, that was my own break. Because I'm not much of a routine person per se, but you just know that something is missing. Like, this thing is not there again. Like, there's just this thing. You just feel you are busy, but there's just something there. Like that used to be there, like, it's no more day again. And I think for me, I found that in FCF, that 2 hours, that 1 hour, 30 minutes that, you know, I'll just spend not doing anything, just there singing, you know, worshiping, praying, and all of that. You know, it's just like it was what I needed to keep me grounded in camp. It was what I needed to keep me grounded in camp. It was, you know, when you go to a place and, yes, I mean, you go to a place and you want to stay separated, you know, you don't want to join the crowd. You don't want to, you know, follow the multitude. It's not easy to not follow the multitude in camp. It's very not easy. It's very not easy.
It's easy not.
Because if they want to go and sit in clinic, is it in clinic? That, you know, that doing things that you normally not involve yourself with. If you go to platoon activities, you meet people that are there. So what other place do you have an escape, if not, you know, the fellow believers? You know, when you go in there, you come out and you're like, you make a resolve that I'm not going to join. One of the things that being there did for me was it sort of made me like separated. I and them, those other people that were in clinic. So I see Mark then will be like, please don't call Crystal Bello, she's going to church. And you know, people always feel like that is a, like is not good. Like, but me, I loved it. I loved it. Bajabate. So I was like, this is like everybody is wearing white and white. It's something that can separate me from the white and white disease. Crystal Bello. And once you start going out, once it's 6 o'clock and you don't see me in clinic, she's in church. You know? And it was an amazing thing to be identified with that. Once you don't see Crystal, because I was even the one that was sharing camp food. So once that 6 o'clock, like when they just for me, the food has come and Crystal is not around, she's in church. Even on the group page, they'll be like, where is Crystal? Somebody will say she's in church or she's in SCC or something like that, you know? So it was a good thing to be identified with. And it's one of the ways to also keep, how will I put it now, to represent Jesus on camp, that okay, this person, when they see you in the NCCF, this person is a Christian, this person is a believer, this person is someone that loves Jesus. Even though most people that, of course, not everybody that goes to church is Christian and all of that, but just being in that circle, just sort of sets you apart in a way that this person, should they go to church, this one should they go to church, this one should they go to church, something like that. So in that crowd, you just sort of gives you a distinction out. That, oh yeah, stand out. So
Wow. So even questions I have or I had, you've answered, like follow.
Yes, thank you.
Wow, it's actually, again, I'm gingered again to, like, from listening to you again and again. It's amazing. I think I love the peer influence, the right peer influence. Mm. You know, it's easy to find people to look up to, but then when you find people around your age range in similar situations, like still holding their own, I think it just sends that message of, yeah, if this person can do it, so can I. If this person is in the same situation as I am and he or she is like sticking through and like making things work, then I can too. So yeah, and again, the whole representation thing, thank you so much for representing. And thank you so much helping people like me navigate that. You were one of those people who helped me stay in touch, that I could, you know, reach out to about things that I was worried about. And yeah, so thank you, and shout out to my other friends who were me. So Christopher, thank you so much for joining today's episode.
Thank you too for inviting me. Moti Blue say, I've blown. My voice is going to the end of you all. Oh, Jesus.
And it was planned. Oh my God.
Are you serious? I think it just came out. You know, when you give all chances like that, it just Thank you too for, you know, for this platform, and I'm really grateful for you, and I'm also really grateful that, you know, you reached out to me. I felt like Esther is reaching out to me. I said that I'm really grateful that, you know, we went beyond some discussions, and it sort of shows that thank you too. I have to, you know, to say thank you too for also reaching out, because even you reaching out to me also made me feel like, okay, I have to also, you know, be steadfast as well. I can't afford to, because how many more people? Yeah, so it helped me as well to know that I have to keep doing this, I have to be consistent. And so, yes, thank you.
All right. So there you have it, folks. Thank you so much for joining today's episode of The Value Cafe with Esther. And this is a message to all prospective, you know, coppers. I thought they said it's cop members, not coppers.
Well, I don't say it's cops members.
There, especially those who are going to get called up to, soon, and even if you've already started like your service here, I'm sure you gained a number of values from this discussion. And again, I love to hear from you. Please, you can actually send me a voice message, and who knows, it could actually feature on my next episode. Yay. The thing is, you can reach out to me to give your feedback, ask questions, ask for clarifications, and even like register your disagreements or complaints in any way. And so in the description box, I'm going to include the email address, which is thevaluecafepod@gmail.com. You can also send me a DM on Instagram @thevaluecafepod. And if you have my WhatsApp number, you are in luck. You are part of the inner circle. So yes, you can... you can holler at me there too. Thank you so much. So next week is another time for another episode, and of course now you know that it's going to be also chill and full of value with another friend of mine or friends, if it's been you. So thank you so much, and bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.